everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here. I have Jeremy Dayton at the network, and we just happen to be live across America and around the world at CRNTalk.com. Today's lineup, Michael Cutler, retired senior special of the former INS, Immigration Naturalization Service, with all his updates, and Selwyn Duke, writer for the New American. He also has some great new articles just out today. The ink is still dripping, as they say. Well, the House January 6th committee yesterday withdrew a subpoena issued to former President Donald Trump as the panel now prepares to disband, according to a report. Committee Chairman Benny Thompson, Democrat, Mississippi, reportedly notified Trump's attorney yesterday that the panel's subpoena against the 76-year-old former president, which was issued in October, has been rescinded and that he no longer needs to comply with the document request. This according to CNN. Quote, in light of the intimate end of our investigation, the select committee can no longer pursue the specific information covered by the subpoena, Thompson wrote in the letter to Trump's attorney. Well, the amount of deadly fentanyl seized by the Drug Enforcement Administration, DEA, in 2020, they say, is more than enough to kill every single American. That's from the federal agency. The news comes as toxic synthetic opioid has continued to flood America's streets as it flows across the southern border. In a press release this week, the DEA said it had seized some 50.6 million fake prescription pills laced with fentanyl. The agency also seized more than 10,000 pounds of fentanyl powder with 2 weeks left in the calendar year 2022. Now that amounts to more than 379 million lethal doses of fentanyl so far this year. According to the Census Bureau, there are 333 million people in the United States, making the seized quantities of the deadly drug more than enough to kill every single citizen of the United States. Quote, in the past year, the men and women of the DEA have resolutely worked to seize over 379 million deadly doses of fentanyl from communities across the country. That was from the DEA Administrator Annie Milgram in a statement that she put out. These seizures, enough deadly doses of fentanyl to kill every American, reflect DEA's unwavering commitment to protect Americans and save lives by tenaciously pursuing those responsible for the trafficking of fentanyl across the United States. Now, you see, listener, that stops me right there. You know, protecting Americans by pursuing those responsible for the trafficking. And all these people that are bringing it across the border right now? Okay. Don't buy any land from her. DEA's top operational priority is to defeat the two Mexican drug cartels, the Sinaloa and Jalisco CJNG cartels, that are primarily responsible for the fentanyl that is killing Americans today. And according to the press release, most of the fentanyl traffic by Sinaloa and Jalisco is mass-produced at secret Mexican factories with materials mostly sourced from China. Much of the drug is pressed into the shape of common prescription drugs that are used recreationally, such as Oxycontin, Percocet, Xanax, and others. The counterfeit pills contain just fentanyl, and filler are often deadly. They're readily available on social media. The DEA press release cautioned consumers to only ever take medications prescribed directly by a trusted physician and dispensed by a licensed pharmacist. And according to the DEA laboratory test, 6 out of 10 counterfeit pills laced with fentanyl contain a potentially lethal dose. 6 out of 10. And that was an increase from 2021, when it was 4 out of 10 pills. According to another DEA press release from earlier this year, fentanyl is one of the strongest synthetic opioids in circulation. It is 50 times more potent than heroin and 100 times stronger than morphine. A lethal dose of fentanyl is just 2 milligrams, roughly equal to 10 to 15 grains of a table salt. And without proper lab testing, it is impossible to tell how much fentanyl is concentrated in a particular pill or powder sample. And according to data from the CDC, more than 170,000 Americans died of overdoses in 2021. That's the largest number on record. Synthetic opioids account for a large share, 71,000 of the deaths. This from the New York Times. And furthermore, the nonprofit advocacy group Families Against Fentanyl tweeted in December that buried in the CDA data is a fact that fentanyl specifically was the leading killer of Americans in the 18 to 45 age range. The number one killer. Oh, boy. Well, Twitter news. Yes, Twitter boss. Elon Musk found some dirt on Dr. Anthony Fauci, and boy, I don't know if you've heard this, and went public on his social media platform to devastating effect. Musk has raised the alarm over a glaring conflict of interest regarding Fauci that we should have known about a long, 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 long time ago before calling him out over the gain-of-function research. In several posts on Twitter, Musk shared information about Fauci with his followers. And Musk said, almost no one seems to realize that the head of biotechnics at NIH, that's the person, by the way, who is supposed to make sure that Fauci behaves ethically, well, that person is Fauci's wife. Gain of function in this context is just another way of saying bioweapon. Important to note that Fauci authored 2012 paper arguing for the gain-of-function research. And Obama wisely put it on pause, but Fauci restarted it. And despite these glaring issues, Twitter nevertheless had an internal Slack channel called the Fauci Fan Club. Wow. Here's another Twitter report. Twitter worked with the Pentagon to promote fake accounts in the Middle East, which praised U.S. policy. That's just emerged. Despite the social media company insisting that it made concerted efforts to detect and thwart government-backed platform manipulation. This collusion spanned for at least 4 years, from 2017 to 2020, and saw top Twitter executives liaise with military intelligence on a covert online psycho-op campaign promoting accounts, including one that claimed the U.S. drone bombings in Yemen, they only killed terrorists. Well, the revelations were made by Li Feng, who published the eighth installment of what is termed the Twitter Files. Well, another very interesting story, probably not going to hear it anywhere but right here. Oxford residents will soon be prisoners of their own neighborhoods. Now, this is one of those stories that you're pretty certain it's from the Babylon Bee and that it's stunning in its implications when it turns out to be the truth. In this case, the truth is that in accordance with the United Nations and WEF climate recommendations, the city of Oxford, you know, home to the FAME University, approved plans mandating, are you ready, that citizens may not drive more than 15 minutes distance from their homes without permission. It's called the 15-minute city, and it's intended to reduce, you know, yeah, global warming, auto emissions. Mostly, though, it will reduce liberty, which is what climate change madness has always been about. In many ways, the 15-minute city, which the WEF and UN approvably tout, is an old, unexceptional idea. Even in big cities, people like vibrant neighborhoods that allow them to travel very short distances, walking, riding a bike, or driving, to fulfill their daily needs, like food, clothing, haircuts, etc. Indeed, there are a lot of people who pick homes based on their proximity to amenities. You know, they don't want to spend their lives in their cars or on public transportation, chasing from one thing to another, and that's fine. Making choices based on lifestyle preferences is a perfectly second, market-based way to go through life. And that's not perfectly second, it's perfectly sound. But the marketplace is not what the globalists want. They want control. Certainly, that is the case in and around Oxford, England, and word is trickling into America that both the leftist Oxfordshire County City and the Oxford City Council have plans, very big plans. The wife of a prominent local Republican activist in New Jersey is in jail after police arrested her for fatally shooting her husband. And this happened Christmas Day, but boy, this is news that I just couldn't pass up. Prosecutors claim that Mary Lou Wigglesworth, 51, shot her husband David Wigglesworth on the couple's May Landing home. Fox News reported further that the Atlantic County Prosecutor's Office said that police arrived to find David Wigglesworth, 57, dead from an apparent gunshot wound. His wife now in jail at the Atlantic County Justice Facility. Quote, the slain man had been involved in local politics. He ran as a Republican for the Township Committee in 2019, but lost. He also served on the planning board, volunteered for the Boys and Girls Club of Atlantic City, according to New Jersey's 101.5. Fox News noted the couple shared an adult son, WPG Talk Radio reported. Yes, police did not disclose the motive for the slain, but photos on Mary Lou Wigglesworth's Facebook page showed a smiling, affectionate couple. Quote, I cannot believe this, one local wrote regarding the incident on Facebook. Oh, yes, the New York Post reported. We've known Dave and Mary for years. This just can't be true. Meanwhile, nationally, Republicans are preparing to take over the House for the first time since 2018 after winning that small majority during last month's midterm elections. And they're going to want the outgoing Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, Democrat, California, to answer some questions. Yes, a pair of GOP lawmakers want her to answer these questions, presumably under oath, before a committee that she created to investigate January 6th, the riot at the building. Of course, you know the investigation now, they're saying kind of like, oh, it's all up, it's over now. Wonder if it has anything to do with this story. The reason there wasn't a proper security presence on the day goes right to the speaker's staff and the speaker's office. There's this pattern that develops where the sergeant of arms is meeting with Pelosi's staff. The incoming House Judiciary Committee noted further, many of these meetings, Republican staff, they weren't allowed to be there, but they had this pattern where everything had to run through her office, her staff, before the sergeant of arms could make a decision. All right, we're going to take a break, and then the one and only Mr. Michael Cutler with his latest updates on what's going on. We'll be right back.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100, and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. That's 800-353-1760.
Do you want to fly somewhere? Anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
You order a glass of your favorite Cabernet. Fresh asparagus, hollandaise on the side, a filet, medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flair, close your eyes, and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef. Broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at rootschris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
Everybody's
talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder here. Hey, want to tell you about my guest now, Michael Cutler. He is retired senior special agent of the former INS. That was the Immigration and Naturalization Service. He's host of the radio program, The Michael Cutler Hour. And by the way, Mike has testified as an expert witness at numerous congressional hearings on issues relating to the enforcement of immigration laws, especially in the wake of the 9/11 attacks. His articles can be found at Newsmax.com, MichaelCutler.net, FrontPageMag.com. And, Michael, how are you, sir?
I am terrific. I wish you and everybody out there a very happy, healthy, safe, and peaceful New Year, and I hope all of you had happy Hanukkah and Merry Christmas. It's a joyous time of year. But, boy, this administration seems to be good at putting a lump of coal in our socks, don't you think?
Yeah, very very well. Very well said there. Yeah, man. The grump, yes, I'll tell you. 42, you know, well, now it's back on again. That's good. And a lot of people are turning around. That's really surprised me because I kind of figured, didn't you get the word that no matter what, Joe welcomes you?
Well, you know, what people don't seem to realize is that every time our politicians make any statements, the people that are affected by those statements are paying attention. You know, you mentioned that I testified before numerous hearings. Back in 2013, I testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee about immigration and the Obama administration. This is Obama on steroids that we're witnessing now. But back then, I said that Obama's policies had fired the starter's pistol for aspiring illegal aliens from all over the world. And for those folks, the finish line is the border of the United States. And that's why when President Trump lost re-election and Biden said, we're going to get rid of 42, we're going to get rid of Title 42, right, and we're going to do all these other things, and we're going to let people in, and we're going to end the Remain in Mexico policy, guess what happened? The people around the world, not just Latin America, took Joe Biden at his word, showed up, and guess what? They were treated the way he promised. That was the one campaign promise he kept, that he would put illegal aliens ahead of anybody else in the world, including American citizens and lawful immigrants. And, you know, the one question that every journalist so-called should be asking every politician on every policy issue, but particularly this administration and on the immigration issue, here's the one defining question no one asks.
Okay.
How are your policies in the best interest of the average American? Why should Americans be celebrating what you are doing? How's that for an interesting question?
It is. But, you know, they used to say, oh, yeah, doing jobs that Americans won't do. Remember that? That was a crying battle cry. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, but again, that was concocted by the immigration lawyers. And, you know, I wrote about Title 42 for Front Page Magazine, but that was back on May 19th when we thought that its demise was imminent. And what we really found, and I was watching some people on Fox News and other stations that were willing to talk about what's happening. And these two folks that were having the conversation were incredulous. The polls show that the average American wants the border secure. Why in the world aren't they doing what the American people want? Because they're not there to do what the American people want. They are there to placate their employers. Think about the employer-employee relationship. When people write campaign contributions, what they're really doing is paying the politicians to do their bidding. It has become a job. And the politicians are the employees and the people writing the checks, the lobbyists, the special interest groups, people like the American Immigration Lawyers Association, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. They are the employers who have to be satisfied by their employees, our elected representatives. How's that for a perspective?
Yeah. Well, you said May 19th, right? 2022?
Right. May 19th, 2022, Title 42 and chaos on the border.
Yeah, because I have a note here. The district court judge, Robert Summerhays, enjoins the termination of Title 42, finding that the CDC violated the APA by failing to consider the effect ending Title 42 would have on immigration, blah, blah, blah. Biden administration files its notice of appeal of that decision to the Fifth Circuit. Oh, boy, I mean.
Even as China, by the way, is experiencing more and more cases of lethal COVID.
Oh, yeah, right? I'll tell you. All right, we're going to take the bottom of the hour break. Lots more to come from the one and only Michael Cutler, who's probably going to get older within the next week or so. You know, it will be a new year, yes. Michael Cutler, frontpagemag.com, michaelcutler.net, newsmax.com. Be right back.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
The brilliant visionary director Guillermo del Toro, who previously created The Weight of Water and Pan's Labyrinth, has now crafted a new version of Pinocchio in stunning stop-motion animation, now streaming on Netflix.
He's just a puppet.
No, I'm not. I'm a real boy.
People are sometimes afraid of things they don't know.
I don't understand.
And it's hard to understand why we needed this dark and disturbing film. With a classic Disney picture still fresh in mind, and another recent version with Tom Hanks as Geppetto. This Pinocchio is amazing to look at, but far more nightmarish than dreamy. There's also a major subplot regarding the rise of fascism, and even a memorable appearance by an animated Benito Mussolini. Though it's rated PG, it will cause distress, if not depression, among younger viewers. 2 stars for Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio.
Hi, this is Fred Dwyer talking about my favorite Italian restaurant, Angelo's and Vinci's at 550 North Harbor Boulevard in downtown Fullerton. A fantastic place to eat. Come inside and dine in our Italian town square, complete with a 10-foot Christmas tree. That's right, 10 feet. Enjoy our food made from secret family recipes. Pasta, chicken, seafood, salads, and our delicious pizza. Incredible desserts, including my favorite, the tiramisu, flown directly in from Italy. Feel the spirit at Angelo and Vinci's, 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton, California. Call 714-879-4022 or visit angelosandvincis.com. That's angelosandvincis.com.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder, with my guest Michael Cutler, retired senior special agent of the former INS, Immigration Naturalization Service. You know, Mike, you and I talk about this a lot, and number one, Mike always brings up the fact, you know, that it's not just the border, you know, Canada or Texas and Arizona, New Mexico, whatever, California, but it's also every single place where there's a boat landing, or an airport, you know, they come from no matter what. And there was a report that came out, and I wanted to say this has got to be the most important thing. You know, you may not want a whole bunch of people coming over and changing the face of America, but it's getting more serious than that, especially when you have young kids, you know, kids that are young enough to drive a car but still young, transporting fentanyl across the border. And they had a report today, Michael, and boy, this is it. The amount of deadly fentanyl seized by the Drug Enforcement Administration, DEA, in 2022, they say, is more than enough to kill every single American. And the news comes as the toxic synthetic opioid has continued to flood America's streets as it flows across the southern border. So there they're putting the emphasis on the southern border, but, you know, they could probably, China could just start moving it into Canada if they wanted to, you know. I think they just have an easier route or more expertise people doing it.
That's true.
Yeah.
And, you know, for half of my 30-year career with the INS, I was first assigned to the Unified Intelligence Division of DEA. I was the first INS agent to draw that assignment here in New York City. And then I was promoted to senior special agent and assigned to the Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Task Force, always as an immigration agent, but working on major narcotics trafficking investigations with the FBI, DEA, ATF, and other federal agencies and foreign governments, by the way, work closely with the Israelis, the Canadians, the Brits, and so forth. And you're right. In fact, there was just an article about how an airline employee, a young lady who was a flight attendant, 41 years old, flew into San Diego with fentanyl strapped to her stomach. Okay? So she didn't get stopped at the Mexican border, but they found her when she was boarding another flight and bypassed security, saying, oh, I'm an airline employee, and they did a random stop on her, and lo and behold, she had several pounds of fentanyl. Now, when you think about pounds of fentanyl, realize that the equivalent of one or two grains of salt, that's how much we're talking about, can comprise a lethal dose. When you're talking about pounds of fentanyl, you're talking about the potential to kill thousands of people. And we lost over 100,000 people to fentanyl last year in the United States, and they keep calling it a drug overdose, and I don't like that term, because often the fentanyl is disguised as a real pharmaceutical, aspirin, allergy pill, whatever, or as candy to attract children. Now, we went to war, and rightfully so, after what happened on 9/11 when 3,000 people were killed, and I have to make the point, by 19 terrorists. We lost more people on 9/11 to 19 terrorists than America lost at Pearl Harbor to the entire Japanese fleet on December 7th, 1941. I want you to keep focusing on how much damage can be done by just 19 terrorists. How many people have come into the country because of Biden and we have no clue who they are or where they've been dispersed to? I promise you it's many more than 19.
Well, let me tell you something, Mike. Most of the ones I keep hearing, and it surprises me, they're talking about, you know, more than 19. They're talking about 80. 80 confirmed possible terrorists have snuck across the border, and I'm going, 80? My goodness.
And that's on the terror watch list, but most terrorists aren't on any terror watch list. If you look at the 9/11 commission, most terrorists are not on any watch list. You know, my very first fraud investigation, you mentioned that I gave testimony to the 9/11 commission. As an agent, I investigated and arrested international terrorists. As a brand new agent, and my age is now showing when I tell you this, this was back in 1976 during my first year as an agent. I tripped over a terror plot in Israel involving an Israeli who was part of the PLO. He was here, had an altered visa, and his goal was to get the money to purchase explosives that could be used to blow up an oil refinery in Israel. Fortunately, we prevented the attack. So I worked a number of cases like that, which caused the 9/11 Commission to reach out to me after the attack, and they said to me, Mr. Cutler, could you come to Washington? We want to talk to you so that we could decide on a strategy to prevent America from getting hit again.
Yeah.
And I absolutely went to Washington. I did that. I testified before all those hearings. This administration is clearly taking a hard look at the 9/11 Commission. They are.
Yeah.
And they're saying whatever the commission said we must not do, they are doing and doing it in the largest numbers possible. Whatever the 9/11 Commission said we should do, they are not doing at all.
Do you remember?
As though they want the MVP awards from Al-Qaeda or ISIS. And add to that what happened in Afghanistan, where we gave billions of dollars in military hardware to the terrorists, okay?
Uh-huh.
I really want to know what the goal is of this administration. And then you have Mayorkas, and I've written about him, because he was the head of Citizenship and Immigration Services for Obama. Now, no one talks about that. They talk about the Border Patrol. All we keep hearing is Border Patrol. We need more Border Patrol. It's all that the Republicans are telling us. We're going to hire Border Patrol. We're not going to hire IRS investigators. Fine. The Border Patrol mission ends at the border. Let's understand what their limitation is. Their job is interdiction. Very important job, very dangerous job. But once an alien enters, whether it's through a port of entry or any other means, and heads to the interior of the United States, the mission of the Border Patrol ends. That's it. They're out of the picture. One of the biggest issues is immigration fraud, people lying on applications for citizenship, for green cards, and so forth. You know, the wise tales that say, oh, if you build a big wall, they'll just bring a tall ladder. You don't need a ladder. You need a green card or a U.S. passport. Mayorkas was in charge of the Division of Homeland Security that adjudicated the applications. And when the FBI and when Homeland Security Investigations, the Division of DHS, went to Mayorkas and said, you must not approve certain petitions because we link them back to an Iranian terrorist group, Hezbollah, Mayorkas said, go to hell, I'm going to approve them anyway, and he did. And there was an Office of Inspector General report that documented multiple instances of malfeasance by Mayorkas. To their credit, the Republicans, during the confirmation process, when Biden said, I'm going to make this guy the head of Homeland Security, they stood up, these Republicans, and said, wait a minute, there's an Inspector General report that shows that he inappropriately approved visas that threatened national security. He also politicized the process. For McAuliffe, if you remember, linked to the Clintons, and they gave them all this information, and the Democrats said, we don't care, he's our guy. So the guy now is stated that when DHS, Homeland Security, finds aliens lie on applications for U.S. citizenship, which is the key to America's front door.
Right? Remember that one?
We will take no action.
Yeah.
We will take no action because they deserve the protection of the government of the United States.
Remember that
Think
one?
About that one.
Remember that one report about 6-7 weeks ago where when they were filling out the applicants to come through, and there were so many of them that put down the same birthday, the very identical same birthday on all of these, like, you know, this was their training they learned when they went to school.
Of course. And I wrote an article about how one of the translators working with our military in Afghanistan was actually an affiliate of Al-Qaeda, allegedly. He's going on trial. So you had the person doing the translation actually working for ISIS and Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, screening the people that came in. And by the way, the FBI has been granted, I know they asked for, and I think they were granted, over $10 million, if I remember the number correctly, for emergency funding to track down Afghanis that we admitted into the United States, and they've been dispersed all over the country.
Well, lucky that money didn't go to the Ukraine, you know. They had it laying around here, yeah.
Well, I have mixed feelings about the Ukraine. That's a complicated story for another day. But the point of the issue here, okay, is that we don't know who we have admitted into the United States, and we've had this problem with translators in the past being affiliated with Al-Qaeda and so forth. And by the way, DOJ never even issued a press release about the fact that they're prosecuting this guy. And they're not prosecuting him, by the way, as they should, for providing material support to a terrorist organization, but rather for lying on his application for a security clearance. Isn't that interesting?
I don't know. I think this was before 9/11 when you and I and George Putnam were talking about, and it might have been during the George Putnam days. You remember when there was the guy that was driving the ice cream wagon that was a terrorist?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Was that before 9/11?
I believe that was afterwards, but I don't really recall.
But you just never know. I mean,
afterwards.
It's a very interesting story, but I mean, and talk about a good cover, right? The ice cream man.
But that's right. And what we have seen with most of the terrorists is that there's been many of them driving airport vans, limos, and so forth. Why? Why is that a problem? We had one guy who was driving a taxi cab all over Washington, D.C., and then he went to the Middle East. We gave him U.S. citizenship. He was training people in the whereabouts of everything in D.C. because as a cab driver, he was certainly very familiar with where everything was. So what we have seen is most terrorists seek jobs that involve motor vehicles. Motor vehicles give them camouflage, give them mobility, and give them the opportunity to hold clandestine meetings with their cohorts, okay? A guy gets in the back of a car. Is he really taking a cab to a doctor's appointment, or is that a clandestine meeting? And all you have to do is exchange a computer memory stick, and you could give the other person literally a library of information. It's not like World War II with the little microfilm, and you have a page of documentation. With a memory stick from a computer, it can be volumes, okay? And you giving people driver's licenses without knowing who they are.
Yeah.
By the way, I understand they've just extended the deadline for implementing the Real ID Act yet again, more than 20 years after 9/11. We're giving driver's licenses to people whose identities can't be determined And then they're putting up barricades against car bombs and truck bombs, right?
Yeah.
And now what we're hearing from Biden is, well, we need to have comprehensive immigration reform. I want everyone to understand what that means. It means that you will be giving millions of people lawful status without the ability to interview them, forget about field investigations, and it then means they could bring in all of their minor children and all of their spouses. So if, let's say, we legalize 25 million, which is a very low number. I'm sure the numbers are significantly higher, but let's go with 25 million. And if on average each one petitions for just four children who are back in the home country, including countries that sponsor terrorism, countries like Iran and so forth, we could be looking at the influx of 100 million children who would immediately have to be enrolled in schools. If you want to talk about sustainability, each person needs 100 gallons of water per day. We have a drought. So the 5 million aliens Biden has let in each day are consuming 500 million gallons of water per day during a serious drought. I mean, look at the environment. Yeah. Look at the impact on everything. This would lead to the destruction of the United States. And I'm not trying to overstate the issue. But by the way, all we're hearing from the Republicans is Border Patrol. Why aren't we hearing anything about ICE? We only have 6,000 ICE agents. Most of them are doing anything but immigration because
right.
they also are responsible for customs law and money laundering laws and so forth. And they're the ones who would have to be called into action to clean up the mess. We effectively have 2,000 ICE agents for the entire United States of America. And they don't just arrest illegal aliens. They're supposed to investigate immigration fraud, employees who hire illegal aliens, and find the conspiracies where you've got criminal attorneys entering into conspiracies to help aliens get immigration benefits they shouldn't be getting, okay? The real solution to the mess is to hire an army of ICE agents and give them all that they need to do the job effectively. But nobody on the Republican side is talking about ICE. All they talk about is the Border Patrol, and their mission, as I pointed out, ends when the alien gets to the interior of the United States. So I want to know, why in the world aren't the Republicans talking about the need for interior enforcement? And you have to believe, because interior enforcement will lead to the discovery and prosecution of crooked employers and crooked attorneys. What do you think of that?
All right, so which ones are the Democrats thinking about? Which ones are they all concerned about?
Oh, forget about the Democrats. I mean, what they've done to us.
See, now you weren't being very fair there.
We're not getting, but the Republicans, if they're serious, need to look at ICE and interior enforcement. There's no other solution.
Yeah. Well, they probably have the ICE that are making the beds for the illegals, you know, that are sleeping and at the border. So
yes.
that may be their what they're doing, you know.
And by the way, the reason for all this is there was a report that was written by Judicial Watch. They do an excellent job.
Yeah.
And I provided a link in that article that I mentioned that I did back in May. Here's the title from Judicial Watch. Nonprofit gets no-bid U.S. contract after hiring Biden official and a $17 million in unused hotels for migrants. And this was per an Inspector General report. This outfit, which had never worked for immigration before, hired a former Biden employee who was part of the transition team. And as soon as he was hired on, that outfit got tens of millions of dollars, including $17 million for beds that were never used to house the illegal aliens.
Yeah, all those hotels.
Why are we calling the migrants?
Yeah, I think we talked about that, right? Where
Right? I mean, so what we should call them are actually our clients for immigration law firms and clients. The NGOs, the non-governmental organizations, these people are clients. What do you think of that perspective?
But just think about all those income tax money we're going to get back from all those people sneaking across the border when they file their income taxes. Yes. Michael Cutler's going to be back, and boy, it's gone by fast today. Michael Cutler, retired senior special agent, former INS, Immigration Naturalization Service. You can go to michaelcutler.net. frontpagemag.com.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-349-6855. 800-349-6855. 800-349-6855. That's 800-349-6855.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-349-6855. 800-349-6855. 800-349-6855. That's 800-349-6855.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder with my guest Michael Cutler, retired senior special agent of the former INS, that was the Immigration Naturalization Service, also host of the radio program Michael Cutler Hour. I think that's on Fridays, right?
Friday night, 7 p.m. East Coast time. And if you go to the Michael Cutler Hour, there's a link so that you can listen to the podcast of all of my previous programs. So you can do that at any time at all.
You know, I saw, pardon me, one statement where it says when it comes to the Southwest border and immigration, you know, Biden doesn't have a plan. He really doesn't care. And basically, the Democrat base doesn't care about illegal migration. So he doesn't care either. You know, he's not worried about the people that support him, I guess.
Well, and what's interesting, and Fox News did a survey, and it turns out that most Americans don't even understand the magnitude of the crisis because the mainstream media is still not reporting on the actual numbers. But once people found out the true numbers, it was something like 80% then said, we better do something and do it quickly. So this is where, again, the mainstream media, and look at all that's coming out now from Twitter with the FBI and now even the CIA
twisting
and censoring the information being made public. Knowledge is power, and the American people have been treated like mushrooms, as we used to say in government. The mushroom treatment is where you keep people in the dark and feed them lots of fertilizer, you know, and that's what's been happening. So I think it's really critical, and again, the use of language. The people who suffer the greatest harm from illegal alien criminals, generally, are the lawful immigrants living in ethnic immigrant communities, and not just from Latin America, because human nature is universal. Where do illegal aliens live? Within the same ethnic immigrant communities. And who do they victimize? The immigrants living in those communities. So people come to America legally. They wait so long, and they pay a lot of money for lawyers and do everything they're supposed to do. They think that they're free now from the violence and the corruption of their home countries, and find out that because of this insanity, that the same criminals who victimized them back home are now here in the United States continuing the victimization of the immigrants.
Yep, the gangs are going to increase.
Yes, absolutely. The violence increases. By the way, the Congressional Budget Office did a study, and it said that it costs 20 to 40% more to educate kids who can't speak, read, or write English. When you're letting in millions of kids that can't speak, read, or write English, think of the impact it has on the educational system. So you've been looking at test scores plummeting, and everyone says, well, it's the COVID lockdown. I'm sure that's part of it. But you know what I think a bigger part is? How many alien students in the schools can't pass those tests, and they are pulling down the averages because the damage being done to the educational system is incredible and incalculable.
But all they have to learn, Mike, is remember, it's a they, not a he or a she or him.
Exactly.
Or her.
Let's
it's
get our priorities straight.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It should be easier for them, right? And also, you know, 2 plus 2.
That helps us.
Yeah, 2 plus 2 equals 5. Okay. And somehow, I don't know how in the world they came up with that. That was, I guess, about a year ago they were talking about that.
Idea is to undermine America from within, doing the bidding of China and Russia and Iran. And those people have problems with America. Just think about this. If you destroy America, waiting in the wings are wonderful countries, Iran, China, North Korea, and Russia. And believe me, they will straighten everybody out on all these issues if, God forbid, they took control, because their solution is just to kill anybody who's in their way.
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you. Well, it looks like we've hit the end of this one. Boy, hey.
Okay, so
I think I'll talk to you
next year, but I want to wish you and everybody a happy, healthy, safe, and peaceful new year. And thank you, Chuck. It's always a privilege to join you.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Michael Cutler, all right? Front Page Mag, michaelcutler.net, newsmax.com. Coming up next, Selwyn Duke.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio. Chuck Wilder here. Jeremy Dayton is at the network, and we just happen to be live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Always a pleasure, normally on a Friday, to have the next gentleman here, but I'm going to take a couple of days off, and so I said, I can't go without this guy. Who's this guy? The guy is Selwyn Duke. Yes, he's writer for The New American. And Selwyn has also contributed to college textbooks published by Gale Centage Learning. And he appears on television, frequent guest on many radio shows. And his website is www.selwyn, that's S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke, D-U-K-E, .dot.com, C-O-M, selwynduke.com. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here comes the Duke. Oh, such an outfit he wears, too, there. You know, that top hat and a cane. And you can just tell that we are in the presence of achievement. Achievement. Could that work? Could you describe somebody as an achievement? What do you think, Selwyn?
I thought you were going to say in the presence of pomposity, but I'm okay, Chuck. I hope I don't have a sugar rush on your show today, because I had just had this piece of chocolate cream pie from Christmas Day, but how are you?
Chocolate cream pie. Wait a minute. Let me see here. Jeremy, would you turn on the sniffer? Yeah, see if it'll go all the way out here to where I am so we can get a sniff of that. Yep, there. Here. Smells so good. Yes. And there's another 1 pound. I'm okay. You know, it's a busy time, you know. And it's, I don't think I'll get into it. Yeah, I'll tell you.
You didn't have chocolate cream pie, though, did you? Someone up on you.
No, you know what I did have, though, and it was late last night because I was out somewhere and it's too late to have it, but I did it. And it was hot apple pie with ice cream on top.
Oh.
Yeah.
A lot of people like that, Chuck. Not my cup of tea, apple pie, but
well, there are a lot of people trying to get to it.
Favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people trying to get
I'm more of a chocolate guy. I'm more of a chocolate guy.
So you had a good Christmas, right?
Yes, absolutely. Can't complain. What about you?
Yeah, it was very good, very good. Got things I wanted, and I don't think I got anything I didn't want. Let me see. Weather was 81 degrees in the morning out here.
Sorry, I had to say that where I was, but
I know. I was worried about a lot of different guests, you know, being able to make it there because of all the havoc that was going on. Yes. Would you tell me about this school that's hiding academic awards from students? that's just that part of the entire thing. In Equity's name, top school hides academic awards from students, hurting their college chances. It sounds like somebody was mad, you know, and said, boy, I'm going to show you guys. But I guess this was like a communal, not communal, but at least a school recommendation that everybody had to follow. Am I close on that?
Absolutely, Chuck. Well, imagine this. Here's the scenario. You're a high school student, and you're very, very diligent. You work very hard. You devote a lot of time to studying, and you get very good grades, and you win this prestigious academic award. Okay, now imagine that this award is something that could help you on your college applications, help you to gain entry into prestigious schools, maybe even get lucrative scholarships, okay? But your school doesn't tell you about the award. So you can't mention it. You can't cite it on your college applications. School doesn't tell you at all. Well, this is not something that's a hypothetical. This is exactly what happened, as you indicated, at this school called Thomas Jefferson High School, which is in Alexandria, Virginia. And the principal of that school, who seems to be the main culprit here, is someone named Ann Bonita Tebus. I'm not sure how you pronounce
Bonita
her last
Tebus,
name.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Man.
Bonita Tebus. So
you know,
what
I think it is, she only learned A and B and never got, you know, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, you know. And, never mind. Go ahead.
So since I don't know how to pronounce her name and it's too complicated and she's on my bad list right now, I'm just going to call Miss B Queen B. I'm going to address her or call her Queen B. Okay. So anyway, here's what happened. Basically, it's been reported that this school, Thomas Jefferson High School, has been withholding notifying students about their National Merit Scholar Awards for many, many years now. Now, why are they doing this? On the basis of equity, which, of course, is the new term the left loves. They have dispensed with equality. Equity is their new buzzword. And how do they define that? Well, basically, they define that as officially sanctioned discrimination designed for the purposes of making sure that you achieve equal outcomes, at least within certain dimensions.
Let's now, let me ask you there. We'll when I that read later. That, I'm yeah. thinking, does that sort of mean like we're all the same?
Well, if you remember that campaign commercial before the election that Kamala Harris narrated about equity, what she said is it's designed to make sure we all end up in the same place. That's how she put it. Yeah. We all end up in the same place. Now, I'm going to get to that later because that's just pure hypocrisy, but I don't want to do that right now.
Well, I was going to say, you know, this lady thinks you're all the same, you know, and there's no difference in I guess you flip a coin to see who has the child later in life, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay,
no, just unbelievable. So anyway, this affected at least 1,200 students at this school. They were mainly Asian descent, too, I'll point out. This is some specialty school. I guess you probably have to take a test to try to get into it. It's an elite school, as they put it, or as elite as you can be nowadays. Anyway, so this Brandon Kosatka, he is another official at the school. He's the director of student services. He reportedly told this mother, Shauna Yashar, who is the mother of a student who attends that school, that he and the principal, quote, agreed to underplay the awards. I'm actually quoting now the Washington Times. Agreed to underplay the awards because they didn't want to hurt the feelings of the students who weren't recognized. And then he said, quote, we want to recognize students for who they are as individuals, not focus on their achievements. That's what he told this mother, Ms. Yashar. Okay, now, something occurred to me when I read that, Chuck. I said, wait a second. What's going on here? How can you fully recognize students as individuals without considering their achievements? Okay, I mean, has Queen Bee developed some kind of technology by which she can perfectly read hearts and minds? I mean, what's going on here? I understand there are deeper things to people than just their achievements, of course, but, you know, we generally recognize a person's individuality by noting his passions and achievements. That's what we do. And yes, character matters most, as I put it in my article, but schools generally recognize this too. It's expressed via conduct. You might get conduct awards, for instance. Yet conduct, Chuck, itself, in a way, is also an achievement. And I'll point out, and there's a reason why I'm mentioning this, it can be a pretense too in certain cases when it doesn't come from the heart. And what's my point? My point is that achievement, whether it's significant or deceptive, is largely all we have to go by, especially when you're dealing with thousands of kids in a school. All you can really do is engage in, to some degree, what we call profiling. But anyway, so let's get back to this, the withholding of these awards or the notification of them. So if you're named a National Merit Scholar, what does that mean? That means you scored in the top 3% nationwide on the PSAT. We're talking about some rarefied air here, and it's very significant, as I mentioned, when you want to try to get into colleges and you're competing for lucrative scholarships. So anyway, this Ms. Yashar, this mother, she learned that these awards were being withheld and that this happened to her son. Her son was one of the victims. He was recognized as a National Merit Scholar in the fall of 2021. Okay. However, that particular year, Queen Bee didn't distribute notices to the families about these awards and didn't alert the students about them until mid-November, which was far too late for the kids to cite these awards on their college applications. Okay, now, City Journal here reported on the story, Chuck, and they mentioned that Yashar's son, quote, who is part Arab American, they mentioned that. Now, you might say, why is that relevant? I would say it warrants mention here because they're pointing out that now affirmative action is not just being applied to white people or people we regard as Anglo-white, but right, to other people as well. Anyway, so they point out that this kid here was a hard worker. Quote, he studied statistical analysis, literature reviews, and college-level science late into the night. This workload was necessary to keep him up to speed with the advanced studies at Thomas Jefferson, which U.S. News and World Report ranks as America's top school. Okay, so this kid, the Yashar boy, he was recognized as a commended student, that top 3%, and only 50,000 kids in the nation approximately get that award. And City Journal points out principals usually celebrate this. They usually make a big deal out of it. They might have special breakfasts or award ceremonies. They might put up YouTube videos about it. They might issue press releases and social media announcements. But no, this didn't happen at Thomas Jefferson. Okay, they have been withholding notification of these awards for years, as I said. And they point out, City Journal does, okay, even though these National Merit Awards open, quote, the door to millions of dollars in college scholarships and 800 special scholarships from corporate sponsors, unquote. Now, think about this, Chuck. What this means is what Queen Bee and the other official, Kosatka, did perhaps cost these kids money. And as I said, you know, this could be a basis for a lawsuit. It's just absolutely unbelievable.
And you would
but
think,
here's something else,
Selwyn,
that,
yeah, you know, like you say, it opens up all this stuff, you know, the national merit, the millions of dollars,
yeah,
scholarships. It seems like it would be like a giant campaign ad, positive ad for the school. And then I don't guess the school gets any money, or do you think they shave a little off the top there somehow?
No, I don't think they do. I don't think they do. But I have to tell you, you know, what's so disgusting about this, and this is what you were earlier, Chuck, is the hypocrisy. Because as I point out in my article, if Queen Bee and all these other woke joke social engineers really believe in equity, okay, again, meaning as Kamala Harris put it, quote, everyone ends up in the same place, then I've got a question for you. Why is it applied selectively? And here's what I mean, okay? Why is Queen Bee afforded more money and authority than her teachers? Why? Shouldn't that all be equalized? What is this? It's equity for thee, but not for me? And you always see this over and over and over again. It's like with Kamala Harris. She said, we want everyone to end up in the same place, but she doesn't want to be in the same place with us, does she? No. She wants to be ruling. She wants to be governing. She wants to have the control and the power and the money. She wants to be on top. And if all of us serfs are at the bottom in the same place, that's okay with her, but she doesn't want to be there. That's what's so disgusting and hypocritical about this.
Yeah, yeah. Sounds like there might be a little racial attitude in there somewhere, too, you know, for some reason. I don't know. May be way off on that one, but, man, something else. Hey, we're going to continue with more of this, the rest of the story, so to speak. You know, that'd be a good sign-off, wouldn't it, the rest of the story? Yeah. Might have to think about
that. Yeah, well, Paul Harvey did that. Paul Harvey did that.
That's what I was leading up to, yeah. I would be stealing
Paul
Harvey. Oh, no, it's quite all right because, you know, I've stole it before. All right. All right. Well, my name is Selwyn Duke, and I'm going to be right back with Chuck Wilder. No, the other way around, okay? Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, and discussing this one, in equity's name, top school hides academic awards from students, hurting college chances. We shall return.
When you really want Italian food, you have got to get to Columbo's. Columbo's Italian Steakhouse and Jazz Club. Colorado Boulevard, Eagle Rock. It's that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Today, it seems so hard to enjoy just a little bit of easy. So much of life seems to get in the way. But fear not. Seekers of fabulous food and fun and thrill, Columbo's is Southern California's answer to easy street. Great grub with some of the finest steaks, the freshest fish awaiting for you to devour. Did I mention Columbo's family Italian recipes? Columbo's spaghetti bolognese, their chicken pesto ravioli, magnifico, and of course, the world's greatest meatballs. I can go on. But why go on when you can go on over to Columbo's and experience delicious and easy for yourself. Columbo's, of course, that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Columbo's, mind you been.
Do you remember Herbert W. Armstrong? Do you remember his magazine, The Plain Truth? His television program, The World Tomorrow? The one and only possible message of world peace?
Tomorrow. Now we're living in the most serious, the most momentous times of the history of this world.
Those who heard Herbert W. Armstrong speak remember the depth of thought, the clarity of expression, and the power of his message. He spoke for God. God warned this world through Herbert W. Armstrong, and he gave hope to this dying world through Herbert Armstrong. What happened to that ministry? What happened to that message? We discuss this and so much more on our program, The Trumpet Daily. We're live weekday mornings at 11 a.m. Central Time in the United States. You can listen at CRN Digital Radio, Channel 3, or watch the live video stream at our website, thetrumpet.com.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call myflightsearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call myflightsearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation?
Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder with my guest, Selwyn Duke, writer for the New American, SelwynDuke.com, talking about one of his latest, In Equity's Name, Top School Hides Academic Awards from Students, Hurting College Chances, and continuing with this one. Go ahead there, Selwyn.
Yeah. Well, Chuck, we were talking about the hypocrisy of these people who push this equity nonsense, that it's equity for thee, but not for me. That's basically their attitude. But none of this is really any surprise, this happening at this Thomas Jefferson High School or in lots of other places, because this infects our whole society, unfortunately. Because, as City Journal put it, this, quote, episode has emerged amid the school district's new strategy of, quote, equal outcomes for every student without exception. Get this now, quote, school administrators, for instance, have implemented an equitable grading policy that eliminates zeros, gives students a grade of 50% just for showing up, and assigns a cryptic code of NTI for assignments not turned in. It's a race to the bottom, unquote. Wow. And as I put it, and Queen Bee is a bottom feeder and breeder. Get this. She took the helm of Thomas Jefferson in 2017, Chuck. And as soon as she did, you know what she was dissatisfied with? She didn't like the racial composition of the school. However, it wasn't that there were too many white kids. That wasn't what bothered her, because actually the white kids were only 10% of the student body. 70% of the student body comprised Asian immigrant origin students, and then you only had 10% who were black, Hispanic, or multiracial or ethnic, okay? And she didn't like that. She wanted more, quote, diversity. So get this, and I'm quoting now the Federalist's Asra Q. Nomani. She's obviously the mother of a child who went to this school. And she said, consequently, in 2020, quote, Queen Bee, she's not calling her Queen Bee, I am, emailed our mostly minority immigrant families telling us to check our privileges, expressing her shame at our Colonials mascot. They have a Colonials mascot, obviously, and outlining her vision for a new racial makeup at the school. So this was Queen Bee's concern. This was her priority. And, you know, what I point out in the piece, Chuck, again, we're seeing a bit of hypocrisy, though, aren't we? Because Miss Queen Bee is very, very white, and I don't see that she ever volunteered to relinquish her position and give it to a minority. I didn't see that at all.
Yeah. And you mentioned, you know, that she's white, okay? And then you wonder, was Queen Bee perhaps married to a King Wasp who was a different color? And maybe that had something to do with it? It doesn't mention, does it, if she's married or not?
No, but I can tell you something. I wouldn't be surprised if she's divorced or if she has a lot of cats, let's put it that way.
Or if she has another,
you know what I mean.
Or Queen Bee has another Queen Bee waiting at the house.
That's true. Yeah. I didn't even think of that.
I mean, that may be her whole thing here, you know, that the reason she takes this attitude. But it's kind of strange. I mean, man.
Yeah. But I have to say, though, looking at her, I didn't get the feeling that she was that type. I thought that she was more of a cat lady type. That's how she struck me, but I could be wrong.
Nine lines.
But here's the thing.
She doesn't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
So Queen Bee instituted this affirmative action, I guess, and what was the result? Well, according to this parent who wrote that article, Nomani, the principal's diversity efforts led to students underperforming and dropping out at record rates. Okay, now we've seen this before. This is actually, Chuck, what the late professor Walter E. Williams called academic mismatch. He wrote an article by that title years ago. And what he pointed out, he was focusing on black students, is that when you use affirmative action to put black students in schools in which they don't belong because they haven't qualified for them, and he was addressing the university level, but this would apply here too, he said you're not doing them any favors, because what happens is you have an academic mismatch. They don't do very well. They often fail. They get discouraged. They drop out. And he said it would be much better for these young people if you made them earn their way into whatever school they could get into, a school where maybe they could succeed, and that would help them on their path towards larger success. That's what he pointed out. You're not doing kids any favors when you do these things. And that's why I pointed out in my article, you know, Queen Bee deserves condemnation, and she's gotten it, and a lot of this speaks for itself. But there's a deeper issue here, Chuck. Now, what is that? It's that there sometimes are good intentions behind these things. Let's be honest about it. There are people who actually believe in this nonsense. Most people do want to do good and convince themselves they're doing so. Okay?
Yep. Yeah. I'll tell you what, yep. And continue with the rest of that story, okay, when we come back. Yeah. Kind of snuck up on us. My fault. Selwyn Duke.
Sorry about that.
not your fault. Writer for The New American. And it's Selwyn Duke. S-E-L-W-Y-N Duke. .com. Be right back.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
The brilliant visionary director Guillermo del Toro, who previously created The Weight of Water and Pan's Labyrinth, has now crafted a new version of Pinocchio in stunning stop-motion animation, now streaming on Netflix.
He's just a puppet.
No, I'm not. I'm a real boy.
People are sometimes afraid of things they don't know.
I don't understand.
And it's hard to understand why we needed this dark and disturbing film. With the classic Disney picture still fresh in mind, and another recent version with Tom Hanks's Geppetto, this Pinocchio is amazing to look at, but far more nightmarish than dreamy. There's also a major subplot regarding the rise of fascism, and even a memorable appearance by an animated Benito Mussolini. Though it's rated PG, it will cause distress, if not depression, among younger viewers. Two stars for Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio.
What are you so happy about?
I'm on the pill.
Aren't you two a bit old to worry about having more kids?
Not her, me.
You lost me there, buddy.
Steel Man pills. Things weren't always looking up, if you catch my drift. So, my doctor prescribed me a little something.
Like Viagra?
Yeah, but that's expensive, and it wasn't covered by my insurance. Steel Man pills cost me less than $3 a pill, and virtually the same effect. I just called and got over 40 pills for only $99.
I have this friend who might be looking and...
Well, if your friend wants some help, the consultation is free over the phone. No clinic. Steel Man pills sends it in the mail in a confidential package.
I'm on it. I mean, my friend will be on it.
Steel Man pills. Going the extra mile to help men with erectile dysfunction.
800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. That's 800-605-1683.
Enjoy Tiki Live, the best cable alternative choice today, with hundreds of premium live TV programming, including ESPN, CNN, Fox News, Disney, AMC, Bravo, XF, OWN, and CRN Talk. Plus, no contracts and low month-to-month service. Tiki Live, servicing North America, including the Caribbean. To get started, visit TikiLive.com to order hundreds of channels, including CRN Talk, at a fraction of what you're paying today. Visit TikiLive.com. That's TikiLive.com.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats, whether they run or not. Call right now and receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call 1-800-785-9618. Donate your car today. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Yep. He is here, and we are talking about one of his latest in Equity's name, top school hides academic awards from students, hurting college chances. Everybody gets a trophy. Remember that one? Yes. Please continue, Mr. Duke.
Yeah, I ran into the music there, and I guess I heard the music saying, hey, Duke, shut up, you're going on too long. But anyway,
no,
we were talking about Chuck. Yeah, we were talking about Chuck, how there are people who actually believe in this equity theory, this equity program, and they have good intentions. I'm not saying all of them, maybe not Queen Bee, who we're talking about, but those good intentions exist because man, a good theologian will tell us, is good by nature because he was made by God and for God. So we have to address this on a deeper level. And the problem with this whole theory and this whole idea, well, we're not going to tell people about these awards because it could hurt the feelings of the kids who don't get them, is that it reflects a very shallow, superficial worldview. And let's just think about the consequences. Just on a very simple level, if you do this where you don't reward people for achievement and you try to create a leveling situation where you try to achieve equal outcomes, you kill productivity, obviously, because in general, if people realize that their efforts are not going to be rewarded, they stop striving. That's the way it works. And what about the other people who don't do as well? Well, when they see the people who achieve to a great level, that gives them something to aspire to. It's not a negative thing. It's a positive thing. If you're a golfer and you see great golfers like Tiger Woods used to be or the top golfers today, you say, hey, that's something to aspire to. That helps you. It can encourage you to reach for the clouds or reach for the stars, even if you don't actually get there, even if you just reach the top of the trees. But then also going down this road, it kills character. That's more significant. Now, why do I say that? Well, they're worried about the kids' feelings. But here's the thing. Just as kids learn languages better when they're young, Chuck, they also learn to deal with failure better when they're young. And we all have to learn to deal with failure. It's very, very important to cope with that. If that's not learned when young, when is it going to happen? Is a kid going to have to learn to deal with that in some major way for the first time when he's in his late teens? Guess what? By then it's too late. By then, perhaps you have some spoiled brat snowflake social justice warrior who's going to throw a tantrum when he's 2 years old, or as if he's 2 years old, when he's actually 19, because he always got used to getting his way, to never being told no, to always being told that his excrement didn't smell. Okay, that's what you can end up with. So we have to understand that failure can be a blessing. You know, C.S. Lewis, the philosopher, said, Chuck, pain is the megaphone God uses to get through to deaf ears, okay? And failure can be beneficial in a couple of different ways, at least. First of all, and I experienced this in my life, it can steer us sometimes away from what we don't have a talent for. That's very, very significant. It says, in a way, it says to you, well, maybe this isn't for you. Okay, that's what it's saying. And it can push you towards where your gifts really lie. I mean, like I said, I saw this in my life. At one time, I wanted to be the best tennis player in the world. I was an aspiring tennis player. And I got very good, But eventually I had to accept that I just didn't have the ability to rise to the level that I dreamed of, and that was okay, because that pointed me towards something that was more significant, what I'm doing right now, which I believe is my calling. So it wasn't a bad thing. It was a good thing. It helped cultivate character, helped cultivate virtue, and that's the other thing failure can do for you, can cultivate virtues such as patience, humility. It's very, very important. A person who hasn't failed, Chuck, hasn't lived. That's absolutely true. You don't want any person in a high position if he hasn't experienced failure, because he doesn't have the necessary life experience. Now, this is something I don't mention in my article, and again, stop me if I'm going on too long, as I always say, but we were talking about feelings. Oh, they didn't want the kids' feelings to be hurt. Guess what? Feelings do need to be hurt sometimes. They do, and here's what I mean. When we interact with other people, of course, we don't want to hurt their feelings, but sometimes it's incidental to what we do when we're trying to help them. I'll give you just two examples. In high school, there was this guy I knew, wasn't close to him, actually a nice guy, though, but we were at a party or something, and I thought he was acting like a jerk, and I said to him, Dylan, that was his name, you're acting like a blank blank. I wouldn't use that language today, but that's what I said. Well, you know what, it got back to me many years later that he said to someone, you know, someone said that to me, and I realized he was right. I was acting like a blank blank. And the same thing happened to me when I was 15. I remember, like adolescent boys will be, I was obnoxious at times, and there was this fellow who was actually a psychologist who said to me, you know, I don't like the way you're behaving, or it bothers me, whatever, and I don't like you. He said something like that. He shouldn't have said I don't like you, but you know what? That stopped me in my tracks. Sometimes you need a smack in the face, and I stopped behaving so obnoxiously. Okay, so it's not a bad thing. Sometimes, incidental to good actions that you take, feelings need to be hurt. That's just the way it is. And as I conclude my article with, apropos to this, Queen Bee has been the worst of failures with her educational policies. And you know what? Making this plain to her by way of a pink slip and some incidentally hurt feelings would be highly beneficial to her and to her students. I'm not going to hold my breath waiting for it to happen, but that's what should be done. Yeah. This woman is poison, and she's a child abuser in her own way.
You know, and this is almost like the opposite. It's funny, I was thinking about this. You remember when they started doing that thing about every kid gets a trophy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Ties in with this story, but it's sort of like, you know, These people are being deprived of what the trophies they should be getting. And then whenever you're little, you know, and it seems like it would just follow on through life. No, I'm supposed to get a trophy too. I'm supposed to be getting this great award, you know, and more money. And yes, and everybody gets a trophy. Boy, that's one of the biggest mistakes they ever made, you know.
Well, I guess the message here, Chuck, is everyone gets a trophy or no one gets a trophy. I mean, basically, that's what they're saying. It's like when you bring some goodie to school and they say, well, did you bring enough for everyone? That kind of thing.
Yeah. But if you don't get a trophy, you know, it just makes you want to, you know, try harder. I'll just tell you a little personal thing here that Billboard magazine used to have a thing. I don't know if they're still doing it now or not. Don't even know if they exist. But anyway, you would submit your air check, you know, and they had the categories for everything and for every size of the city, you know. And I never participated in it, but I would have people that would say, and this was whenever I was a disc jockey, you ought to do it, you ought to do it, you ought to do it. And then one year, I finally won Billboard's, what was it? It wasn't a small town, but a Middletown or whatever. It wasn't actually, it was Fresno, California, to give you the size. It wasn't Los Angeles, but it was for all over the United States. And so I got you know, country music disc jockey of the year, and you know, and you have all these funny things and drop-ins and all. That's what did it. It was other people's stuff I was stealing and playing. Something like that. But you know what I mean.
Are you saying, Chuck?
Huh?
Are you saying, Chuck, that you hurt people's feelings by winning an award for yourself?
Yeah, I think that's what it was, yeah. You know, this other article you have is so good. And, reader, I want to tell you something. I know we can't get into the whole thing on it, but this is something you ought to read at SelwynDuke.com and print it up. and really digest it. But I'm going to let, we got about 10 or 15 minutes here. It's entitled Guns, Morality, or Policy? ? In two U.S. zip codes, young men are more likely to be shot dead than were soldiers in Afghanistan. Now, that's some pretty staggering statistics right there, I would say. Wouldn't you, Selwyn?
Yeah, absolutely, Chuck. And we know it's all because of guns, right? Because in Afghanistan, they didn't have any guns, right?
Yeah.
They didn't have any guns in Afghanistan. No
weapons.
They got
a lot of big guns now.
That's for sure. Oh, yeah. Thanks to Uncle Joe, Lunch Bucket Joe, who's just a regular guy like the rest of us, doing his sniffing and hair feeling and all that. But anyway, family show. So, no, but this really is staggering. Of course, it may not surprise some people, but these are the most violent zip codes in two cities. Now, what would you think those cities are? You might guess Chicago, and certainly you'd be right. And the other one is Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. But we have to ask here, why is it, though, that these places are so much more violent than cities such as New York City and Los Angeles, where actually the murder rates are far lower? But we're going to get into that. But anyway, this is based on a study led by Brown University researchers, Chuck. And here's what it found. Men between the ages of 18 and 29 who live in Chicago's most violent zip code, and I'm quoting the Washington Times here now, that's 2,585 men, were more than three times as likely, to be precise, 3.23 times, to be the victim of a gun-related homicide than soldiers serving in Afghanistan would be to suffer or would have been to suffer a combat death. Now, Philadelphia, the Washington Times tells us, young men in the city's zip code with the highest amount of gun violence, 2,448 men, were nearly twice as likely, 1.9 times, to be killed by a gun than soldiers in Afghanistan. So it really is staggering. They also point out that overwhelmingly these young men are black and Hispanic. And they studied New York and Los Angeles, and they point out that actually the most violent zip codes in those two cities were safer than Afghanistan or Iraq. I don't know if that's anything to brag about, but you see this big difference between these cities here. Anyway, what I found interesting was what a study co-author said, this Dr. Brandon Del Pozo. He's an assistant professor at Brown's Warren Alpert Medical School, and he also recently released a book having to do with this. And he, for 23 years, Chuck, was a police officer in New York City, and he was also chief of police of Burlington, Vermont. So he has quite the resume. Anyway, he said that on top of other things, they, of course, wanted to examine the geography and demography-based homicide patterns. But at the same time, he said, and I'm quoting here The Independent, he and the other study authors were responding to the oft-repeated inflammatory claims about gun violence in American cities. Dr. Del Pozo said, we often hear opposing claims about gun violence that fall along partisan lines. One is that big cities are war zones that require a severe crackdown on crime, and the other is that our fears about homicides are greatly exaggerated and don't require drastic action. We wanted to use data to explore these claims, and it turns out both are wrong. While most city residents are relatively safe from gun violence, the risks are more severe than war for some demographics, unquote. Okay, now, I point out here, Chuck, what's really interesting about this is that it's an exercise in media propaganda, and you and I have discussed this before relating to different things. Now, it's not news that homicides are not equally distributed throughout America. We know that. For example, I point out in my article, there was a 2017 study using 2014 data that informed that 68% of our homicides occur in just small parts of 5% of our counties. And get this, 54% of our counties in this study had zero homicides, no murder at all. Okay? So I point out in my article, for this reason, I'd have to say Dr. Del Pozo's refutative claim itself is a little suspect, because parts of our big cities are, in fact, war zones. And guess what? They do require a severe crackdown on crime. Yet it's also true, Chuck, that our fears about homicides are greatly exaggerated insofar as many people are deceived by the mainstream media and believe the entire country is a war zone. Okay, there's nuance to it. Most of these killings occur in inner city areas, dangerous ones. But here is the exercise in media propaganda I want to talk about, Chuck. One could wonder, why did Del Pozo study only, quote, gun violence? And what is, quote, gun violence, Chuck? Isn't it actually people violence using guns as tools? Isn't that what it is? And get this, think about this. Don't these war zone areas in our own cities also have greater knife violence and fist violence? And what about foot violence? How come we don't use that kind of terminology? And by the way, if you're talking about fist and foot violence, know this. More Americans are killed with what they call personal weapons, which are hands, fists, and feet, Chuck, than with rifles of any kind, according to the FBI. Okay. But here's the thing. I point out in my article, the professor is not alone. Yesterday, Microsoft Network disseminated this story that claimed this, quote, 2022 was another record-setting year with regards to kids being killed by guns. Very interesting way of putting it. Now, I have to ask you a question, Chuck. If someone is beaten to death, do we say, well, that person was killed by fists? Those naughty fists, they shouldn't have done what they did.
Right.
Okay, the point is this. The term by implies agency, human agency. Kids are not killed by guns. They're killed with guns by people. Okay, you see how they work that propaganda in there? So anyway, if I'm going on too long, maybe I'll just stop now.
No, we got a few minutes here before we – not a few minutes, about 40 seconds. And then we got to take that award-winning break and then very little time. You know, guns now leading the cause of premature death for children, yet it counts as children, anyone under 18. Yeah, wow. You'd sort of think when a children, what would you say, 11 to 12, that you can kind of stop being called a child so much? Would you say 12
is a
good
cutoff line?
Yeah, I would
tend to agree with you.
Yeah, but
right.
You know,
I mean, if we're going to go by this, then Trayvon Martin was just a little kiddie, right?
yeah. You know, and you got to. You know, change the wording so it fits whatever curriculum you're trying to get across, I guess. Yes, okay. There it is. Selwyn Duke. You heard that, see? Perfect. Writer for The New American. And it's selwynduke.com. Normally every Friday, but due to the holidays, he's on here today. And I am so happy that he's here, too. We'll wrap up the rest of this story and be right back.
Hi, Fred Dwyer here. If you suffer from a serious chronic illness, heartburn, poor sleep, fatigue, brain fog, you need Balance 7. Balance 7 improves the acid-alkaline balance in the body. The right pH helps unlock the immune system. It also allows for better hydration and nourishment during times of medication and stress. Balance 7 works. I know. I use it every day. Now you can try it free. Balance 7 is offering chronic illness sufferers a free gallon of Balance 7 for the first 100 callers. That's an $87 value free. So call 800-793-9039 and mention my name, Fred. The first 100 callers suffering with a chronic illness get a free gallon of Balance 7. So call 800-793-9039, code word Fred, or visit balance7.com. That's balance, the number 7.com. 800-793-9039, code word Fred.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national health care alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you.
And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-846-2153. 800-846-2153. 800-846-2153. That's 800-846-2153.
What are you so happy about?
I'm on the pill.
Aren't you two a bit old to worry about having more kids?
Not her, me.
You lost me there, buddy.
Steel Man Pills. Things weren't always looking up, if you catch my drift. So, my doctor prescribed me a little something.
Like Viagra?
Yeah, but that's expensive, and it wasn't covered by my insurance. Steel Man Pills cost me less than $3 a pill, and virtually the same effect. I just called and got over 40 pills for only $99.
I have this friend who might be looking and...
Well, if your friend wants some help, the consultation is free over the phone. No clinic. Steel Man Pills sends it in the mail in a confidential package.
I'm on it. I mean, my friend will be on it.
Steel Man Pills. Going the extra mile to help men with erectile dysfunction.
800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. That's 800-605-1683.
Everybody's talking at me. Chuck Wilder, CRN, with my guest Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, talking about one of his latest, Guns, Morality, or Policy. In two U.S. zip codes, young men are more likely to be shot dead than were soldiers in Afghanistan. And you say in this article also, guns are now the leading cause of premature death for children. Children, that would be what... From day of birth to six, maybe, seven, eight? No.
Yeah, well, so. You would think that, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
really.
That's what they claim, the source that I was citing here, this Microsoft Network featured story. I guess, Chuck, the way they look at it is, I'm going to be facetious now, we're all children of God, right? So we're always children. Who said men are children of a larger growth? So I guess that's the way they look at it. But they said they're counting as children anyone under 18. Now, I pointed out, don't be surprised at all, because some studies actually count those between 1 and 19, and sometimes even older. I've encountered this as children. And, of course, they do this because the more you extend childhood, the worse the kids killed with guns problem appears. Okay, but here's the truth, the important thing you need to know. Again, this is an exercise in media propaganda. We're pointing it out. In reality, what are the two leading causes of death for actual children aged 1 to 14? Well, motor vehicle crashes and drowning, and that's according to the CDC. What they're doing in the media when they say guns are the major cause of the death of children, what they're doing is by extending the age of childhood, they're including violent gangbangers in the statistics, and that skews everything, of course. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous, and I conclude my article by pointing out a few things, and there are so many things you could say about guns, but we should point out that the 16 cities with record high homicides in 2021 have Democrat mayors. That's one thing we can point out. I'm quoting the Independent Sentinel there. And, you know, there is a correlation there, but there's one correlation that doesn't exist, and that's one between more gun ownership and higher murder rates, Chuck. For instance, I'll give you two examples. Rural areas, the people have more guns per capita than urban centers do. But guess what? The rural areas also have lower murder rates. Whites own more guns than black people do per capita, but they also have a far lower murder rate. How do you explain these differences? Well, I quote Professor Thomas Sowell. He said in 2012, it's the people, not the guns. People make the difference, not the guns. If you look at the demographics of an area, that will usually explain the area's crime rates, not the gun ownership rate. In fact, there is no correlation, like I said. There are nations that have had very strict gun control, such as Brazil, Russia, and Mexico, that have very, very high murder rates. And there are countries such as Israel and Finland that have high gun ownership, but very low murder rates. So that's the truth. And I just conclude my article by saying, and just a bit more perspective, the most dangerous place for very, very young men and women in the U.S. with a murder rate of 20.3% is inside the womb.
Inside the womb. Boy, fantastic. Fantastic article. Once again, I'm going to hold off on you until next year. Is that okay?
I was going to say, Chuck, I can't appear until next year. I'm sorry to say that.
All right. We'll get back on a regular schedule, too. Selwyn Duke, D-U-K-E, and it's selwynduke.com. Thank you, sir, and have a very happy new year.
Same to you, and God bless, Chuck.
God bless you. Hey, thank you very much, Jeremy Dayton. Thank you for listening, and God bless the United States of America.